Hello, this is Three Dudes News, episode 7. We are out here on the porch during the day because it gets rather cold at night nowadays, and we do not like freezing. We have a guest with us. His name is Ben, as well as my name is Ben. What's up, Ben?
Hi, guys. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
And of course, we have Philip and Josh here with us as well.
What's going on?
Sup?
I'd like to apologize for missing last week. I was quite sick, and we felt like we didn't want to try to do an episode when I was sick, even though, you know, we know y'all love us so much and are probably really mad that we have missed a week. But we're here, and we're going to tell you some news, and we're going to discuss about it, and we got some pretty interesting topics. Is that right?
That's right. Good stuff.
We got some great stuff, and we got some stories that will follow up on previous stories.
Right.
I'll start it off with a very interesting number that involves Memphis, where we live. Apparently, a pilot was barred from the airport after refusing to submit to a full-body scan at the Memphis International Airport. This pilot, Michael Roberts, he is a pilot for a Houston-based Express Jet Airlines. He left the airport after Transportation Security Administration officials asked him to leave. Why did he leave? Well, he withdrew the full-body scan from the TSA. This is a really interesting technology because it's kind of like an X-ray, but it goes through your clothing to see if you have any kind of guns or bombs or any kind of weapons on your person underneath your clothes. Well, if you opt to not do the full body scan, you can have a full body frisk, I guess that would be, a pat down to see if you have any weapons. Well, so the argument here is that this Michael Roberts pilot feels like he should not have to go through this because he is a pilot and this is his job. And people, you know, he thinks that he should be able to work his job without a breach of his privacy. I've seen some of these images, and you know, it pretty much makes you look naked on the picture. But the TSA says that there's quite extensive privacy actions that they take to secure people's privacy. But this pilot thinks that is not a good idea. Personally, if I was on a plane, I would feel more comfortable if I knew that no one on that plane had a weapon.
Even if that involves some people that you don't know seeing your dick before you go through the line.
Well, I am not uncomfortable with my body. I understand that some people are, but after reading what TSA has done to ensure the privacy of the person being viewed, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, disagree. I would rather ensure my safety than that moment of someone seeing my penis.
Well, what did the TSA actually say about the privacy?
Okay. I went on the TSA's website, and they have a lot of information about privacy. Here's how the situation works. You walk up to this machine. You stand. There's an operator there that, you know, right, tells you what to do. You go into the machine, and you have to hold your hands up and spin around.
Yeah.
Okay. The image is taken while you're spinning around.
Yeah.
And it's sent to a computer,
yeah,
viewed by another TSA officer. So mm-hmm. It's not the person, you know, ushering you into the machine that
right.
sees the image. It's a person in a closed room that does not see the passenger.
True.
Okay, so the passenger nor the TSA official outside with the passenger sees the image, but one person in a closed room sees the image.
Right.
And once the image is, once the image is confirmed to be negative for weapons, the next person comes in, and that image that was taken is not saved. It's deleted. It cannot be printed. From what I hear, it's just a monitor. It's no kind of controls to.
I know the equipment fairly well, and there's actually a service that menu that you can go into on the equipment, and you can actually save all that data.
But what he's saying is the TSA said that they're not making use of that.
Right, yes. But it's there, so if they wanted to, they can.
It has the potential for abuse.
Well, here's what I got directly off the TSA's website.
And along with that, they have had issues with other people being made fun of because of going through the scanners.
Well, why would you care about being made fun of?
Well, there was a TSA officer that went through the scanner just to do a demonstration.
Yes.
And the other officers in the area that were also part of the scanning process was making fun of the small dick, so.
Yeah, but this was in the testing of this, right?
No, this was at an airport. This is just doing a demonstration
but
at the airport. TSA...
But it's still a demonstration.
Right. Yeah, it's not an actual...
Right.
Did they fire the people who were being stupid?
No.
It's not fucking high school. I mean, it's
and then they have child porn issues, which in the UK they've had issues with, where little children go through there and...
Right.
Okay. Well, why not refuse to go through the scanner and just get a pat-down?
Well, some people do, some people don't. But it's usually quicker just going through the scanner.
Exactly. That's why they put it there. So it is quicker. So they can get people through it faster.
Right.
But here's what the TSA says. I'm going to read this verbatim off the Transport Security Administration's website under the privacy of this advanced imaging technology. They say, strict privacy safeguards are built into the foundation of TSA's use of advanced imaging technology to protect passenger privacy and ensure anonymity. To that end, the officer who assists the passenger never sees the image the technology produces. The officer who views the image is remotely located in a secure resolution room and never sees the passenger. The two officers communicate via wireless headsets. Once the remotely located officer determines threat items are not present, that officer communicates wirelessly to the officer assisting the passenger. The passenger may continue through the security process. Advanced imaging technology cannot store, print, transmit, or save the image, and the image is automatically deleted from the system after it is cleared by the remotely located security officer. Officers evaluating images are not permitted to take cameras, cell phones, or photo-enabled devices into the resolution room.
Yeah.
Okay, so this demonstration that you spoke of obviously was not set up in the manner that they have them set up in the airports. Otherwise, there would have been no way for them to be making fun of each other.
Exactly.
They were all on radios. That's what the thing went through.
Also, to further protect passenger privacy, millimeter wave technology is what this uses to view the body. It blurs all facial features, and backscatter technology has an algorithm applied to the entire image. So it will not actually show detailed facial images.
Right, because it's too much stuff to process, and they can blur that out. It's not a problem.
Okay.
You know, honestly, I don't care if somebody makes fun of my dick. Okay?
Exactly.
But this guy has to work with these people.
But
who gives a shit?
Right.
Who cares about the guy that got, laughed upon because of his small dick? It's for people's safety. You know? I mean, this guy wasn't getting on the plane. You know, it was just a demonstration. And those guys should be dealt with accordingly. I mean, that's wrong to make fun of someone's penis.
It's unprofessional.
Very unprofessional.
But here's the way I see things. There are plenty of instances, there are plenty of professions where you have to deal with things like this. For instance, I'm a nurse, and I don't see, when I'm at my job, you don't see, the human body as like a sexual thing. I mean, it's a body is body. We all have, we all have the same parts,
Yes.
So, I think we kind of need to just grow up about this and
Well, the type of people
I think that's
that,
the way it's seen.
That's usually hired at TSA or people that don't really have a whole lot of background in government work.
Right.
Or entry level work, for that matter.
Very entry level. See, I've already applied for that once, and I went with a different job because of that.
Right.
Like, I don't need that. I got something better.
So are you saying that the people operating this machine are not professionals?
They don't act as professionals because they're not trained as professionals.
Well, then they should be dealt with by the agency.
That all TSA employees don't act professional, or the ones operating this?
The majority, I will say, don't act as professionals.
Okay.
Now I think that's quite a blanket statement.
Exactly.
Majority. Yeah.
Still.
Have you been to a majority of the airports?
I've been quite a few.
Have you walked through these full body scanners and dealt face to face with these TSA individuals that are running the machine?
I haven't gone through the scanners because I went before the scanners were put in stone.
So
I went through the security system, and they're generally okay, but they seem to be very uptight and irate about people.
Well, that's because they deal with thousands of people a day.
And they deal with people like you bitching at them because they have to go through that machine.
And then they suspect that you have weapons on you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ben. Go ahead.
Well, and people that may also feel that their rights have been violated. You know, that's the kind of people that, you know, they're having to deal with.
That's Josh's perspective right there. Yeah. That hits the nail on the head, and I'm not trying to downgrade his emotional status on this.
Emotional status?
Yeah. He seems to be slightly emotional about it.
I'm more logical about it. I just don't like it.
No, I'm just bullshit.
Alright, so you don't like it because it's an invasion of your personal privacy?
No, I don't like it because there's better ways of doing this. I mean, they don't have to go through these scanners. They can do other things.
Like what?
Well, they got this new technology now that's very similar to that, but it's not as invasive. I mean, you don't really get to see real depth into it. You see everything else. Like, if they're carrying something like a plastic knife or something, you can see that. It's an outlay of the body, but not necessarily a three-dimensional representation of it.
Okay. So why did they do that? Why didn't they do that instead of this technology?
That's based on the government. I can't tell you.
I mean, this might be cheaper, you know?
Which is something we definitely need when we're, you know, trying to put something into infrastructure like this.
I mean, if I was the president or CEO of the TSA, and I decided that I wanted to put something into the system other than metal detectors that could actually view hidden weapons, you know, and somebody comes up with this idea, I'm not going to think twice to put it in place. I mean, it's for the people's safety. It's not to, you know, view people's penises or view women's breasts. You know, it's not what the technology is intended to do.
But his point
is that there is a potential for people like that to be in these positions.
Yeah.
And that's
then
what the problem is.
That's why they said you don't have to go through it. You just have to be patted down.
Which I don't have any problem with.
So you wouldn't go through the imaging, the full body scanner, but you would accept a pat down.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense
to me. Well, see, that's why they did it. Because I was talking about this with one of my fellow employees, and she's a lady, and she's had several surgeries. She's cosmetic surgeries and, you know, like a gastric bypass surgery or something to do with her stomach. So she's got a lot of scars, and she's kind of overweight, and when I was discussing this with my employees, you know, I was like, sure, I would go through it. And she actually broke down and started crying because later that week she had to board a plane to Colorado. And she was so scared to go through these machines, and it frightened her up. So she started crying by it.
Right.
And then I asked her if she would go through a pat down, and she was so, you know, leery about her body, she didn't even want a pat down.
Well, some people are that way.
I mean, Ben, would you go through the scanner?
I would easily go through the scanner, because just because I kind of see it from a different perspective. I guess if you have this many people, I mean, every person that has to get on this plane, every person has to go through this scanner, I mean, do they really think that your body is going to be that much different or that much more laughable than anyone else? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely go through the scanner because I would feel safer.
It wouldn't bother me to go through the scanner.
Yeah. I mean, I would feel safer knowing that everybody that's on this plane, including pilots and the flight attendants, have gone through this. And they don't have weapons on them.
And I still, I do, I am of the opinion that this all does come from fear and paranoia, because it's not as, this doesn't happen as often as I think we think it does. Now, obviously, yeah. You know, with September 11th and everything, it's,
Well, I mean, this was obviously brought on by September 11th.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, you don't have to fly a plane to be a terrorist. You don't have to board a plane to be a terrorist.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of illegal aliens crossing the border all the time. Any of those could be terrorists. You don't see imaging scanners at the border, you know, of Mexico.
Actually, now they have special X-ray vans that they use to scan through cars and people.
Really?
Yep.
But these people are coming into a country, not a sealed, you know, projectile that's going to be thousands of feet in the air.
True.
Yeah. So I really think that's a complete. That's a completely.
Well, you can always
thing.
Just send toner through EPS. And actually, that's recently happened.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
A package from Yemen, okay, going through UPS, had a package of toner that has been altered to be an explosive device, and okay. It was heading towards Chicago. It'll stop in the UK. Now, there was no explosives with the toner, but it was designed to be an explosive device.
They do say that this technology will not be able to detect objects in the body.
Yeah, I know that.
You know,
so keister it.
Well,
terrorists.
Exactly. Well, I mean, a lot of people.
That's kind
of. A lot of people are used as drug mules, you know, and you know they put a couple balloons of heroin up their butt and get on a plane. And
that reminds me of a story.
So why can't we come out with technology that will go through the entire body?
Like an MRI?
Yes.
Or
CT.
Or yeah. X-ray.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, only metal.
Yeah.
And
you'd have to have a solid gold dildo filled with heroin in you.
So I think that this is a good thing. I think it's a step to, you know, stop people from getting on planes with weapons. I think it's a bit much.
Indeed.
But I don't think that there are many options to go to get this kind of security. And I think that all the security in these airports is way over exaggerated anyway, because the fact that, you know, the Unabomber didn't use a plane.
Right.
And true. The fact you can actually get on, I recently took a train to Chicago. They don't do a thing. You could have giant duffel bag filled with nothing but C4. And
sweet.
Is it required for you to go through a
metal detector? There's no.
I think I might take trains from now on.
There's no security
really?
At all. I could have gotten on with, I mean, whatever. They don't look at. Yeah, I mean, they might profile people. I'm not going to lie about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. As this regular Caucasian guy, I certainly, you know, nothing got searched on me.
Let's see, when I went to Chicago, I took a flight there, and in my my carry-on, I had a whole bunch of bits of food, and I took, as just for fun, a 24-pack of soda and put it in my boarding...
Your carry-on bag?
Not that one, the other one.
The checked one. Right.
And perfectly fine when I got there, so...
Well, so, Philip, do you think this is a good thing? Or a violation of privacy?
It's both.
Is it a good violation of privacy?
I can tolerate it as a violation of privacy in respect to security.
And it's really not... I don't see it as that invasive, really. Because, you know, the only thing you're really subject to is the fact that you have to walk in a room and turn around. You don't have to take your clothes off. You don't have to take your shoes
exactly.
off. You don't have to go through all this stuff.
Nobody touches your junk.
Right. Nobody touches you. I mean, I think people, once they got comfortable with this, just saying, hey, you know, we're scanning your body, and this just detects if you have anything on you.
I mean, think about it like this. Think about it as the person in the isolated room looking at these images. Okay, sure. The first couple days, if you first start this job, the first couple days, yeah, you're going to be like, man, that girl's got big titties, you know?
Right.
But you can't see the person, so there's no way to go out there and get her number. But over time...
Excellent.
That becomes your job. It becomes repetitive. It's something that you see...
Right.
I mean, how long... I don't know how long it takes for these people to go through these scanners, but I'm assuming it's maybe a minute. So you're looking at a person a minute.
Exactly.
You don't even have time to look at a person's junk. You're
exactly.
Looking for
you're doing your job.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're trained professionally, which, contrary to Josh's opinion, I imagine these people are being trained enough, and that even if they weren't, you know, quote-unquote trained professionally and not professionals, then I think they'd still get used to the idea of, you know, they're really just seeing...
Yeah.
You know, you're just seeing human bodies. Like, get over it.
Just doing everybody's... You don't even know who these people are.
Exactly. So...
I mean, porn's legal. You can look up porn all the time, but you don't try to find out who the porn star is and go search her down and stalk her. I mean, some people might. Some sickos, you know.
I mean,
but
you know, to each his own.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
I think this is good idea. Josh does not think this is a good idea, I'm thinking.
Well, no, because one thing, it may scan weapons off of people, okay?
Sure.
But you can use anything on an airplane.
What do you mean by that?
Coffee pot. Push cart. Anything.
Okay. Yeah, but you won't have a gun.
So?
Which is much easier.
Much more dangerous.
You won't have a bomb.
So you're saying there needs to be a full psychological profile and workup for everyone?
If you want to do it right, they should do that.
Should we just all be on camera at all times?
Or everyone should get on the plane.
Now, the camera
nude.
Thing's not going to work.
There's no seats.
Right.
It's just a flat floor.
And you have to lay down on top of each other.
Yes.
Nude.
And there's no bathroom. There's no Cokes. There's no
coffee pot.
Nothing.
Right. Nothing.
If you want to do it properly, that would be the way
all
to
right.
do it.
No closed doors.
You have it first from Josh.
Josh for President, 2012.
So let's go on to the next
topic. The awesome party.
Let's go on to the next topic.
Yeah, the next one.
Philip, you have something about gays?
Yes, I do have something about gays, particular gays.
What kind of gays?
That would be
gay people, I guess, is what we're talking about, guys.
Legally married gay man faces U.S. deportation. Henry Valandia is married to a U.S. citizen, but he might be deported anyways. He was married in a state that recognizes gay marriage, and he was expecting marriage to basically give him his citizenship. He's been married for 4 years.
But that's not the reason he got married, right?
No. He was married to someone he loves because, you know, that's what you do. You get married to someone you love.
Or money.
His citizenship... Shut up. His citizenship, basically his temporary citizenship, has run out. Okay? And the federal government is basically saying that he is going to be deported because they don't recognize gay marriage.
Wow. I mean, some people do get married for citizenship reasons.
This is true.
Right, but that has nothing to do with their sexuality.
Right.
Yeah.
It's completely legal to marry somebody for citizenship.
So does this act, Defense of Marriage Act, actually say that it has to be a man and a woman?
That is the exact definition in the Defense of Marriage Act.
Wow, really?
1996, not 1912 or anything, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, I think that needs to be revised.
A current legislation, very, very current.
We should just do that. We should, right? Everybody's for gay marriage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go change it on Wikipedia right now.
I mean, I am not for gays. I mean, because we all know that from a previous episode.
Yeah, the kiss cam or
the
whatever.
Gay cam.
Yeah. Yes, we got a kiss cam and a gay cam. Pick it.
Yeah.
For Ben here, who doesn't know what we were talking
and
about.
And is about to be infuriated.
We had a previous story where gays were what's the word?
Complaining?
Not rioting, but
petitioning, basically.
Being annoying.
They thought they were being abused because they would not show same-sex
kissing
on the kiss cam at a St. Louis Cardinals game.
I think if they pan away from it on purpose, then it's kind of wrong.
Right.
I mean, if they don't pick it, then it's kind of up to the cameraman.
So there were several hundred gays that went to this game trying to get onto the kiss cam.
Right.
But back to this story, I mean, I think that the act should be changed to marriage. In general.
Period. Between two people.
Yes.
Good thing you said people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I doubt, like, a dog would try to get U.S. citizenship.
Well, that's the censorship issue. But
most of them are naturalized U.S. citizens.
Exactly.
There are some people that would marry their animals.
So this guy's going to get deported because...
Midpoint.
Yes. His temporary citizenship expired?
In a statement, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, confirmed that he is facing deportation hearings, but said they were unable to comment on the pending case.
Wow.
So, the federal government is ready to take him to task for being gay and married and expecting to get his citizenship that way.
So they're assuming that that's how he's trying to get his citizenship?
No, they're assuming that... What they're saying is that his temporary citizenship that was recognized by the federal government has gone away. So
yes.
He doesn't have any other form of citizenship that is recognized by the government, by the federal government.
So I'm sure they can't get this law amended, you know, quickly enough to get this guy citizenship. So why?
Well,
why,
it's the federal government that's doing this, and it's their law. So why would they want to amend it?
To change it because it shouldn't be between a man and a woman. It should be married couples.
Right.
But could he go through regular immigration, you know, consultations to get U.S. citizenship without trying to go through the marriage route?
He would probably have to be deported and come back.
That's what I would think.
He could spend a large amount of money and go through the lawyer-based system.
Sure.
Right.
And bring up a lawsuit.
It's a great system, you know.
And that would actually get him pretty far, but depending on his case, it may not work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel sorry for this guy. In this picture, which dude is the guy getting deported?
Because they both look American. Who's facing the picture.
Okay.
Let's see.
Facing the camera.
All right. Yeah, I mean, he's a decent looking guy.
Yeah.
I'm not gay, by any means. But
well, thanks for clarifying.
I mean, he doesn't.
That you're not against yourself.
I mean, he doesn't strike me as the type of person that wants to get into the country
illegally
by marrying this guy.
Right. No, he looks like he's. They do look like they're in love.
Yeah.
I've been married for 4 years. So
I don't even really think we should ever even question that part because there's no. You know, there's really just no way to...
There's no physical aspects that you can tell by looking at somebody whether they're gay or not.
Right.
Unless they're cross-dressing.
And that doesn't mean they're gay, Ben.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it rules out some possibilities.
Okay.
So, Josh, how do you feel about this?
Well, it's the federal government and their act, their law for it. And technically, he would be deported based on that. They should actually just let him be.
Right. This is another situation that's exactly like the marijuana situation, where the federal government said, we will arrest those people anyways. Federal police will arrest people in California with marijuana, even if Proposition, 19 passes.
Yeah.
I have no vested interest in Proposition 19.
None
you
at
don't?
All.
None
whatsoever.
At all. None. Zero.
Leave
California alone.
If a state wants to have a law that circumvents the federal government, they are allowed that privilege. Okay? The federal government is overstepping its boundaries in doing things like this because we are allowed these privileges as individual states. So, in Connecticut, he was legally married. Therefore, he's legally married.
Exactly. I think as long as it stays in Connecticut, it's okay.
And it says something in here about
Stay the hell away from Memphis. Don't get near Josh.
That
it'll be all right.
It says in the story that Valindia, that's his last name, I guess.
Yes.
Thought his immigration status was in good standing, and he had been sponsored by an employer. What exactly does that mean? I guess so you can get in the country with temporary immigration status if you are associated with a company.
As long as you're working for that company
and
they're willing to sponsor you,
you get a temporary green card.
Okay, so he didn't get fired or anything, right?
No.
So why wouldn't his
company sponsor him again?
Yeah.
Well, because...
Or continues to sponsor
him. You have... There's several ways to get full citizenship, right? And one of those ways is to get married, okay?
Okay.
If you're going through temporary status, then you have to re-up it, right? You have to go through the process again.
Yes.
Okay, so the company would have to re-sponsor him. And I'm sure he works in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing, let's say he still works for that company, which he most likely doesn't, because it says he's a salsa teacher. I don't know if he works for a company as a salsa teacher.
Yeah. Well, it's a dance studio.
Okay.
In Princeton called Hot Salsa Hot.
So he
awesome.
He is sponsored by this studio
for
his temporary citizenship, and he gets married. The dance studio no longer has any... They have no idea
they don't
that
think
they're
that
obligated
they no longer
to do this.
Have to sponsor him.
Right, because he's legally married. So they don't have to... He's a citizen as far as they're concerned.
Right.
So it's just... they didn't... They figured that the legal marriage would hold up against the federal court.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not.
Who actually remembers how the Constitution actually works? Just in your question, all right?
We have none of the three other people here are raising their hands.
Okay. Do we need to go into this?
Well, you got the federal government.
How the Constitution works by Josh.
Okay, we got the federal government, which is the underlying law enforcement system, okay?
Yes.
Then you have the state constitution and laws, which go on top of that. So which one actually takes precedence in this situation?
In this situation,
the federal,
it should be...
obviously.
No, it should be the state.
Should be the state or should
it
be federal?
It should be the state.
Well, we're all of the opinion that it should be the state, but I mean, that's an odd
which,
well, I mean,
but which one is actually the right one, though? That's the question.
Well, there aren't different immigration laws for each state.
Right. So we don't have an immigration law for a state.
So
but
it's a
in
federal
this particular situation, the federal law for marriage is opposing...
The state law for marriage.
So therefore, the federal law for immigration is opposing the state's law for immigration.
Yes.
Right. So if the state law for marriage holds up,
which it should,
then the state's law for immigration, where the clause is marriage, should hold up as well.
Yeah, but it says between a man and a woman.
Well, that's the federal law.
That's the federal law.
In the state law, it's.
In
it may
each
not
particular
even be
state.
Defined.
But does Connecticut have an immigration law?
But they
no.
Don't.
No, Connecticut doesn't have an immigration law, but their rules for marriage are different.
Yes.
Right? So the law says married. It doesn't say marriage between a man and a woman. The law says married.
Well,
so
federal law
No, the law of marriage does, but the immigration law just says being married to someone.
So should,
well, see, I thought it was the other way around.
No.
I thought the Immigration Act, the Federal Immigration Act, said it had to be between a man and a woman.
No, that's just the federal definition of marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it doesn't actually spell out in the Act.
Correct. No, it spells out in the Act the federal definition of marriage, but not in the immigration.
The immigration
law.
Side is completely different.
The immigration side just
as long
says
as you're married.
As long as you're married. So if the state holds married as two people being married, then
the federal should
honor that.
Should honor that.
Honor that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think dude has a case against.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Against
I think this is a very
immigration.
Very good.
I think
Supreme
we figured
Court
it
case.
Out. We figured it out. All right.
I mean, I don't think that it doesn't say anywhere where this guy was discriminated.
No.
You know, and so I think that you know, I think that this situation will just be looked upon as a mistake on the federal level.
Right.
I think he will be deported.
Really?
That'll probably happen.
I think he's going to get deported, and I think, that's what I think will happen.
I'm sort of
a pessimist in this way.
So I wonder if there's any rules out there that if you get deported, there's a certain time span before you can go back through the immigration, you know.
I think it's a month, but I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
Right.
Well, if it's a month, this guy's out of a job for a month.
Exactly. Yeah.
That sucks.
Because I'm assuming everyone knows Salsa where he's from.
Yes, right. Maybe he should pick up hip-hop.
Well, what if the company reinstates their sponsorship?
Then he would still have to go back through immigration for the temporary status.
And be deported.
Most likely.
And then come back.
Man, I feel sorry for this guy. I mean,
I think what the federal government here is doing is wrong.
The only problem that I have with gays is... like,
can we call them gay people again?
Okay.
Okay, gay people.
All right. The only problem that I have with people that like other people of the same race...
What?
Sex.
Or same sex. Yeah. Sorry.
It's like, what? That's a new one to me.
I think... well, my problem with them is that they... majority of them think that they're repressed. They think that...
but, and they are.
Well, by some people, yes, but...
by the federal government,
apparently.
We just talked about this. This person is being oppressed by
the federal government
which directly.
Which will be President Obama.
Well,
and
do you think he's being
cohorts.
Oppressed or discriminated because the law states what it states?
Yes.
Because the law is very detailed. And
the law used to state you could have slaves.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, the gay rights movement is it's been touted as the civil rights movement of our...
Generation.
Well, I guess the only thing that this guy can do is just be deported and come back and get his green card through immigration, not as a married person, just as your normal immigrant.
Yeah, he could do that. Or he can go to another country.
I think he should fight.
Yeah,
Supreme Court.
Yeah, but you know he's not going to win that.
Right.
You can't
I don't
fight
know.
The federal government.
Well, there's been a few cases and he could do it.
Here's the problem with that. If he fights this, then he has to change the definition of the federal government's definition of marriage.
Yeah,
right.
Which they're not ready for that to change. So he's not going to win.
Yeah. Well, let's move on.
I think it's enough of that.
Yes.
All right.
No consensus.
All right, Josh, what do we have next?
We have China's been halting exports of rare earth metals.
Right, rare earth metals being?
Like rare earth magnets, neodymium magnets.
Well, rare earth minerals, right?
Minerals, metals, yes. Bit of both, bit of then neither.
And so can we have a better definition of what these particular rare earth minerals are?
Let's just say China's... So China is refusing to...
Well, they're halting exports of rare earth minerals
to the United States.
Well, and other countries like Germany and Japan.
All right. Why?
US. Why? Well, that's... well, a lot... for one thing, the Japan issue is because they're in... heated talks about the situation that has happened earlier last month. U.S., well, that's a different story because they want partially some control over the markets a bit. And the U.S. is actually backing Japan in a lot of their ideas.
Okay, so continue.
Anyway, the rare earth minerals that are used for electronic devices like the iPod and MP3 players and computers all the time. And with China actually controlling the majority of these minerals, it kind of hurts the economy globally. And plus puts them in a very good position to
build weapons.
Not necessarily build weapons, but control what they want from other governments.
And to be in control of resources.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very dangerous situation.
Well, here's an idea.
Yeah?
Maybe the reason why China has halted the export of all these rare minerals to the United States is simply because we owe them a lot of money.
Well, we owe a lot of people a lot of money.
Well, China has decided to stop exporting these.
Right.
Maybe that reason is that we owe them too much money and we have not paid them back.
That could be it.
So I think
they'd rather have us owe them money than have us not owe them money.
I need a clarification. I was not of the understanding that they were halting exports of rare earth minerals to anyone. I thought they were just cutting back.
It started off as cutting back, and then they halted it for a period of time to the U.S. Recently, they've
started back.
Yeah.
But they have halted exports to Japan indefinitely. Yes.
Because of their disagreement about a certain island.
Gotcha.
And some Coast Guard.
It's a territorial dispute.
I see.
But yes, with China doing this, it's very dangerous game they're playing. Because if we have to, we could actually show some force, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Wonderful.
So. Oh, no, it's okay. When this war is over that we're in right now, we're going to take over Afghanistan and have so much lithium we can't do enough with it.
And opium. That's true.
Yes.
And opium. Tasty, tasty opium.
Yes. What are you guys thinking about this China thing?
I know nothing about it. I understand that a lot of these minerals are used in electronics,
yeah,
such as the iPhone that I have in my pocket. But, I mean, this seems to be something to prop China up to be like the big man on campus.
Absolutely. Right. If they're in control of all manufacturing of electronics, that drives their currency up and ours down.
Yes.
And then we wind up owing them more money.
Because we're buying that stuff from them.
Yeah. Right. And the value of our currency will go down against the value of their currency.
Yes.
And
since the global economy is using the US dollar as reserve currency, everything else is actually going to go up. So if we want to buy anything from anywhere else, we're going to spend more money.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, how do you feel about this?
I think it's China trying to take too much control of the world, and I don't really. I'd rather not have China do that.
You think the UN should go against them on this?
Well, the UN really can't because they don't have any real pull in this situation.
Well, it's
because
China's
government is their choice. Minerals. It's their choice to export it.
It's right, but we can. But the UN tends to lean against things like this, though.
Well, you know, like we export a lot of cows.
Right, yeah. And if we said we're not going to export cows to China, the UN would be like, well, why are you doing that?
Because we want our cows.
But then they're going to go, well, that's going to have a global effect. They'll explain it, and they'll say, you know, we're really against you not exporting cows to China.
And they really don't have to follow any of that. Because
no, we don't have to follow any of that, but that puts pressure on us from some of our peers that we're in good with.
Right. The thing is,
being
China,
other countries.
Right, being other countries.
My point of view is China doesn't really have a whole lot of peers they're good with, except
that's
for Russia.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
And,
but there are more of them than anyone else on the planet, so they really don't need as many friends as maybe we do.
And they have a lot of money.
There's only like 350 million of us.
I thought
United
it was,
States.
Yeah, I thought about, yeah, that's about right.
So it's putting us in a bad situation, basically.
It's making China a lot more dangerous than what they used to be.
Yeah.
Any solutions?
Well, easy. Here's an easy one.
We have no other solution. I mean, the only other solution would be to get our minerals from somewhere else.
Yeah, and we can do some of it, but not enough of
the quantity of what China's got, because that is in China, and they control it. So, I mean, if they want to halt it, they can halt it. It's on them.
Yeah. And it's the same story as oil. I mean, and if it becomes, you know, that profitable, then, of course, we will war on them for their rare earth minerals.
And that's retarded.
Exactly.
Because you should start a war with somebody who attacks you.
Or not start a war, but...
Yeah period.
That's not... Moving on.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently that one just died.
We're gonna do something that we haven't done before and let our guest present a story.
Yes.
And hopefully,
that kind of correlates with a previous story we had. It was a continuation.
Right. Continuation of a story from a previous episode. So, it's called Tennessee County Expands Its Pay Firefighting Policy. So, the story was, an elderly couple in Bayonne County, Tennessee, they lost their trailer and four pets when firefighters refused to put out a fire because they had not paid their annual fee of $75. Because in this particular area, they are required to pay this in order to be covered by the fire department. So, basically, now this story is about the fact that it is expanded to the entire O'Brien County, and it's been voted 15-3 by the county to expand this pay firefighting policy. So, in other words, people are required to pay this annual fee of $75 in the whole county, whereas previously it was covered by taxes or by volunteer firefighters. So
I think that this, is a response because of this situation that happened with the Kranichs. I think it's good because now everyone will have fire coverage, be it volunteers or not. But I think it's kind of trying to CYA, the firefighters that didn't put out this fire. It's kind of like they're covering their asses by expanding it to the whole entire county.
But is this the way that we want this policy implemented? Do we want it to be everyone pays it in taxes? Would probably be the best way to go.
Because no one would forget to pay it.
Right. Yep. You would have to pay it.
Exactly.
And there could be no one complaining about their house not getting burned down. So if you're going to expand the policy, why not expand it in taxes instead of as this?
Right.
Because the $75 was actual people outside of the taxed coverage area.
Yes.
So
right.
They could have just expanded the taxes into that area instead of just expanding the coverage of the area for the freaking $75.
Yeah, I think that's what the 15-3 vote was about.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
So what this actually sounds like to me is mafia extortion.
that's pretty good. So
you pay guys and your
for safety.
Your house isn't gonna burn down.
But see up the fire that started before, the people that's house burnt down, they were outside of the taxable coverage area that the firefighters get paid to operate in, right?
Right.
So the $75 basically says, okay, you include me in your coverage area. I'm not paying taxes to you, but you're gonna include me in the coverage area for $75. It costs a hell of a lot more than $75 to roll a fire truck out to somebody's house and put out a fire.
Yes.
So,
but most of the people that are going to be paying this annual fee of $75, their house isn't going to be burning down. It's just a type of insurance. It's another way to have another kind of goddamn insurance that we have
paying,
to pay for.
But if the municipality that was already covered is paying it in taxes, then that's insurance too, right? But well, it's not one that you have to consciously focus on getting paid on time.
The thing is, tax money can be readjusted.
Well, see, a good part of this is explained in this story, and I'm going to read it out for you. They say firefighting isn't cheap. The National Volunteer Fire Council estimates the cost of equipping and training a firefighter is $27,095. Trucks cost range in price from $150,000 to $750,000. Volunteer departments feel the strain, and bake sales, fish fries, and donation drives only go so far to meet minimum operating expenses. Now, with this new countywide expansion, these volunteer firefighting groups won't have to work as hard to get money to pay, for expenses.
Right, there'll be more people covered, therefore more people paying the $75.
Yes. More, firefighters, because not a lot of people volunteer to be firefighters.
This is true.
You know, but now they will be getting paid, and they will have money, you know, for better gear and stuff like that. So I think it goes both ways. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Because just because you tell a county to pay $75 doesn't mean that they're going to pay it.
Yeah,
now, if you do it in taxes,
then
it's getting paid.
Yeah. Right.
It's poor execution. That's what it is.
But with taxes, you don't necessarily know where that tax money's going.
Right. But they could. I mean, it could go in a breakdown. You know, you do get breakdowns for some tax bills that you get.
Yeah.
Like, say, your property taxes. You could get a property tax breakdown. Let's say they threw the $75 onto your property taxes.
Yeah.
You get a breakdown that says, okay, well, $75 goes to fire covered, which is basically what they do here.
But it's someone else doing that distributing.
Right.
With this, it goes directly to them. They know it's $75 a house.
Right.
But that, again, doesn't necessarily mean that everybody will pay it.
Correct.
I think the main issue is that it's completely unethical for these, for any firefighter to sit there and not
put out a fire,
do their job, not put out a fire,
exactly,
because someone hasn't paid some fee.
Exactly.
You know who is very sad about that? Smokey the Bear.
Yes.
Yeah. Where did Smokey the Bear go?
And Smacky the Frog.
Here's Mitch Hedberg reference. That is awesome. The problem with that method of thinking is that you'll have people who don't pay that expect to have the fire put out. Right?
Right.
And you can't, if everyone didn't pay, then they can't afford to put fires out. Right?
Just like if I don't pay Vinny and Lou, they won't not break my legs.
That's not, it's not the same thing. Okay? That's not, it's not mob
it's,
protection.
It's comparable.
Well, no, here,
it's not
how,
the same
here's
thing.
Here's how it's laid out in the story. Statistics show that in communities that have subscription fees for firefighting, less than 70% of the people pay subscription fees. And that number is as low as 40% in the early years of the subscription campaign. In 2006, firefighters responded to 245 rural calls in Obion County, assuming a 30% non-participation rate. So they have put fires out for people that have subscriptions. Why didn't they do it in this case?
Probably because they were getting the smackdown from somebody higher up saying that, you know, all right, we need to cut that out.
Stop being nice.
Yeah, stop doing that. Somebody had to make that call, okay?
They said that 75 homes could have burned, but they didn't because these people who are firefighters do that for a reason. They do that because they want to be, you know,
part of the solution,
heroes,
part of the problem.
They want to be do-gooders like police officers,
now, isn't
and paramedics.
Isn't there a department that actually charges a bill after they put out the fire?
Yes.
Well, see, the difference between what Ben number two is saying here, our guest,
sexy Ben,
between a fire department and the mob, is you're not paying the fire department to not set your house on fire.
Yes, I do realize that.
Yeah. Okay, that's the difference.
Unless they're a very mean fireman.
Well, there's a fire department in Reeves. I'm guessing that's a very small town. One of those responding as needed in Obion does not charge a subscription fee, but sends a $500 bill after it has rendered services. And then it says that half of the homeowners fail to pay it.
But they still do it.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
that's part of why it's $500 for one thing.
It just needs to be, in the tax. It needs to be in a tax. If it's in a tax, we don't have to worry about this shit.
You don't
the story
see
would
it,
never come
don't
up.
Pay
it would
any
never
attention.
Happen.
Well, but then it goes back to say that the people who delegate where these taxes go are politicians.
Right.
And
they're
corrupt.
Voting, they're voting against
They could be
these
like,
taxes.
Well, let's take 10% of these taxes.
And give me a new car.
Yeah, put it as a bonus for me for changing from this subscription status to taxes to where everybody's covered. Oh, I did a good job, so
I deserve
a bonus.
Something.
So let's take
that
money that's supposed to go to the firefighters and put it in my pocket.
Right.
Well, that's still that's a much larger issue.
That's true, still.
It happens all the time.
But if that was the case, the fire would have gotten put out.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing in the public eye is the fact that the fire didn't get put out. So even if it's taxed, the money, who cares where the money goes? If it's the, they don't have anything that they can leverage against not putting the fire out.
Even if they have facts that say that 75 homes were put out from non-subscription payers, and they still put that fire.
That's not facts. That's statistics. It's probability or possibility. They're saying it's possible that 75 houses could have gotten put out that didn't subscribe.
Well,
I didn't think that's what it was saying at all.
That is what it says. Said as many as 75 homes could have burned.
That's the maximum thing.
But still...
No, they're saying as many as 75. That doesn't mean it's a probability. It's still a statistic. It's still 75 non-paying homes that got saved have been burned.
Right, okay.
Is what they're saying. They're not saying that that's just some figure they pulled out of their
house. Somebody said, stop putting out houses that didn't pay. And they didn't.
We got 75. That's enough. We just went through a tornado. Sorry.
I mean, I think this is a good thing and a bad thing. I think it's good because now everyone is required the same.
Yeah, everybody's equal.
But, you know, there's still going to be people that don't pay.
Right, and the guy who basically they spoke to on the article said this ain't the way to fix it.
Yeah.
What were some of the comments that the fire department got? Just out of curiosity.
Every fire department in Obion County received complaint calls and emails, even those not directly involved. Quote, I'm asking the Lord to visit a curse upon every person involved, said one caller in a voicemail. May your house burn down as well, unquote.
See?
That's
the public.
Bible belt for you.
That is the public. That's the general public, and they're angry.
They should be angry.
Yep. Well, I think we beat that one down pretty good.
So if they're mad, they can take guns up there and shoot them all.
Yeah, which kind of brings us to this next one, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody know about Bill Haslam?
I know he has a big nose.
Bill Haslam.
I'm sure Tennesseans know Bill Haslam.
I know I'm scared and I have to carry a gun everywhere.
That is great.
But anyway.
I'm kind of bazooka.
I got this from the Tennessean, a Tennessee newspaper. The title reads, Bill Haslam would agree to ending handgun permits.
What does that mean?
That means that, well, you know, if you want to, Memphis is a bad part of town. Memphis is...
Yes. Memphis is a town in itself for all of our listeners. All
right.
Yes, so, and it is a bad part.
There's a lot of crime in Memphis, and a lot of people carry handgun permits because it is, you know, such crime-ridden area.
Because they perceive that they need... a gun to protect themselves from the crime.
Well, I carry a straw.
Well, Bill Haslam's running for governor. And for those of you who don't know Bill Haslam, he used to be the mayor of Knoxville, and he owns the Pilot Gas Station Corporation. And, well, he said that he told a guns rights group that he would sign legislation into law to eliminate Tennessee's requirements for carrying handguns in public. Haslam, in a discussion with members of the Tennessee Firearms Association on Monday night, noted that the state's permitting process was used as justification for expanding areas where guns can be carried, such as state parks or bars and restaurants that serve alcohol. So basically he's saying that by dispelling the handgun permit carry, that everyone would be able to carry handguns in public without a permit.
I think this is a fantastic idea.
Okay.
For me to poop on.
There are about 300,000 handgun carry permit holders in Tennessee. To qualify, they must pass a handgun safety course and pay a $115 fee. Permits are revoked for felony convictions and can be suspended for pending criminal charges or court orders of protection. That will not be the case if this bill is passed by gubernatorial candidate Haslam, because, you know, there will no longer be a permit.
So, what about, okay, that's a carry permit, right? So that means one.
Unconcealed.
Right. So what about purchasing one? I mean,
well, I don't think the purchasing laws would change.
Okay, so you still have to go through the standard purchasing process.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing in that that's mentioned in this article about changing the purchasing laws.
Okay.
This is just for carry.
Just for carry. Okay.
And I think it all comes from fear. I think this all stems from fear.
Well, you know, this nation was built on fear, so.
You know. So, I don't know. I just don't understand why anyone feels like they need to carry a gun on them to be safe. You know, that's obviously my opinion.
I mean, some people do. I mean, obviously there's 300,000 people in Tennessee that carry a gun.
Right, exactly.
Well, there's more than 300,000. That's just the people who have gone through
permits.
The proper
exactly.
channels to get.
But what's weird about this is a little bit of history on Haslam. It says, Haslam has been heavily criticized by his gubernatorial rivals for being weak on gun rights, including his failure to join the NRA until after he entered the governor's race last year for his past membership in Mayors Against Illegal Guns in a group co-founded by New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. So, before he decided to run for governor, he was in an anti-gun group. And now that he's running for governor of Tennessee, he says, wow, there's 300,000 people carrying handguns.
That's not necessarily what he said. Basically, what he said is, fuck it, let's make them all legal.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
he's against illegal. The group was against illegal guns, from what you just said,
yeah.
right?
Well, yes, illegal guns meaning...
Solid point.
Right. So basically what he said is, I'm going to stand on both fronts and say, fuck any of them being illegal. Let's just make them all legal.
Well, I mean, that still ends up on one
front.
Legal,
though. He's just making it legal to carry guns. Not necessarily illegal guns.
No.
But no gun can be illegal if they're...
If you don't have to have a permit to carry it, it's not illegal to have it.
Then there's no such thing.
When you got federal...
If it's a stolen weapon, it's an illegal gun.
Well...
If it's bought under the table, it's an illegal gun.
Right, but there's a difference.
If it's a fully automatic.
If you have a handgun, if you have a permit to carry, where do you keep the permit to carry?
On you.
Right. You keep the permit to carry on you if you're carrying a gun.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? And that permit to carry tells what legal channels you went through to purchase the gun and that you are legally licensed to carry it. Right?
Yes.
So therefore, you would no longer have to have this permit on you. Right? So how are the cops going to know immediately, right then and there, if it's illegal or not?
They're not. But...
Depending on the type of the gun, I mean, you got certain guns that are illegal.
That's not the point I'm trying to make.
According to the current law, for handgun permit owners, if you get pulled over or something, or by the police, you're supposed to let them know that you have a gun. Now, if you're in a car and you get pulled over for a traffic ticket, you do not have to tell them that you have a gun. Most police officers will say that you have to, but you don't. Now, if you're getting frisked or if they ask you to come out of the car, then at that point, you need to tell them. But I think this is just a way for Haslam to look better. You know, in this
incredibly right-wing state in which we live.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I prefer to have the carry permit. You know, stay as is.
I would too.
Yeah.
But he's going to say exactly what I said if someone challenges him on his position.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he looks good regardless.
Yeah.
Right? Except he has a huge nose.
But let's just say that he gets to become governor.
Right.
And let's just say that this bill comes up to demolish the handgun carry permit law.
Right.
He said that he would sign it, you know, and what would that do to this state? It would become a war zone.
Well,
a legal
some
war
of the,
zone.
Some areas of Memphis would be in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but...
I think I'll get a Metal Storm handgun if I had to.
Yes, a Metal Storm handgun. Are you going to make it?
No, I'll go buy it.
Okay.
I got connections.
I want to see it.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's a handgun that shoots two rounds at the same time. It's designed a special way. It's electronically shot.
Okay.
I can go into great detail with it.
Well, let's spare that.
Yeah.
Yay, killing.
Woop, woop, woop.
Yeah, so... Okay.
Fuck life.
Memphis will be screwed up pretty bad if this passes through.
He's not looking at it from Memphis, though. He's looking at it from Nashville and Knoxville.
Yeah.
He needs to bring his ass down here, do some campaigning down here. He'll change his mind.
Oh, he's been down
quick.
Here several times.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think we live in the war zone that you guys painted out to be.
Well, it's not that bad.
I said some parts, not all of them.
Right, but that's every city.
It has potential.
But I don't think this law will ever even come up to abolish the handgun carry permit. Because it's just ridiculously extreme.
It is quite extreme. I as right wing as our state really is, as a whole. I mean, you know, not everyone that is pro gun is going to be pro, you know,
everyone
having a gun all the time. Like you said, you know, that would make it easier for, you know, convicted felons.
I like easier myself.
Easier.
All right, so yeah, I don't think this will happen.
Guns bad.
What do we got next?
Well, if for these strange people out there, we have a recent increase in UFO sightings. There's been sightings in Manhattan, El Paso, and I believe China in the past few weeks.
UFOs being unidentified
flying objects, yes.
Not necessarily spaceships.
Yeah, the one in New York actually was a balloon. And one in El Paso were, I believe, aerobatic pilots doing a night show with flares.
Right. That's what the man wants you to think, Josh.
No, actually, I looked at it and was like, oh, those are aerobatic moves. That's what they are.
What about what I saw out here that day?
That, I believe, were...
is an unidentified
flying object.
Flying object.
Right.
One of them, I'm pretty sure, was a jet of some type.
Okay.
It was flying and you couldn't identify it.
Yeah. The other one, I'm not exactly too sure because the angle of it and everything looked kind of unusual, but it was not a UFO as in terms of flying saucer.
But it was a UFO you couldn't identify it and it was
flying.
Let me
make it clear what I saw. Okay. We were driving home from the grocery store and we saw a craft that looked like it was falling, not spinning, but falling flat through the sky, right?
Was it going fast or?
No, it was falling very slowly.
Okay.
Very, very slowly, falling flat. It had a small tail. Very small. Not like physical tail or trail. It had a very small trail.
Okay.
Like a vapor trail.
Yeah.
And falling very slowly. We passed a couple of trees and it was then moving straight across the sky.
So what do the aliens have, what's their reason for all this covert operation, really?
Well, it's not really covert if they saw it.
If they've got the technology, well, they're not showing their faces.
True.
If they've really got all this technology to travel across the universe, you know,
why
hundreds of millions of light years, they're going to get here and they're going to be like, let's just, let's just try to stay undercover about this. You know, we're just visiting, I mean, I know... we're not going to find any other planets anywhere near here that have life on them, but let's just be covert about it.
And these guys aren't that interesting anyways.
Right, exactly.
What do you do on vacation, Ben?
What do I do on vacation?
Yes.
I try to sun, but I'm kind of pale. So, you know.
Right, but when you go to, like, let's say the beach or whatever.
Do you observe other people at the beach?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I observe people all the time.
Do you try to interact with them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. People walking by, you make eye contact.
No, I mean, do you physically make interaction?
Do you engage them in conversation?
I mean, yes.
Depends on how they look.
Yeah, you might be at a bar or something and see an attractive lady sitting at the bar by themselves, and you may strike up a conversation.
Right.
Or a dude with a cool rock band shirt on, like mine. You know, that's a pretty good dude interaction.
Right. So let's say these aliens are on vacation, and they come here and.
They just want to people watch.
Yeah, because
and by that I mean every single person.
Yeah, there's nothing interesting there for people to talk to. And
I mean, I think we'd be a pretty interesting show. Here's one point I'd like to bring up that an astrophysicist by the name of Neil deGrasse Tyson. This is kind of his argument. So people are not familiar with what is normal in the night sky. There are plenty of things. That your average person, you know, 99.8% of the population that's not an astrophysicist when these people, including myself, you know, you see something weird in the sky, you know, it could be a planet. It could be
a satellite.
It could be, you know, a meteor. He talks about this long story that this, you know, cop saw this just ridiculous thing where he was following a UFO.
Right.
He was following this UFO on this winding road in his cop car at night, and when they go back and try to figure this out, turns out he was just following, I'm not sure which planet it was, but it was like Venus. It was just Venus. And from his perspective, it appeared as, you know, some very strange flying object. But, you know, I think that's a good point he makes, because I really don't think, I just can't see us being visited. You know, I do believe there have to be life
elsewhere.
Yeah, and if that life did have the technology to get here, I think that they would be quick to make it known that they are here.
Right.
They wouldn't,
whether peaceful or otherwise,
all this suspicion, and, you know, just fly, you know, hundreds of feet above the ground.
And how would they even know? You know, they could have a totally different system of everything. How would they know that we're watching or not?
Yeah.
You know, they may not have vision.
Yeah, how do they know that we have eyes?
Right.
You know who actually does do things like that? The U.S. government. When they're spy projects.
Okay.
Thanks, Josh.
So, this Halloween, when you're looking up at the night sky...
Don't follow the moon or Venus.
And you see something flying across the sky, it might actually be Josh.
Yeah.
In a covert government spy operation.
Yes, in a spaceship, in a UFO.
A spaceship? Maybe not.
Spooky.
Yeah. So, Josh, do you believe in aliens?
Well, of course there's aliens.
That these UFO, these sightings are actual, you know, spacecraft from another galaxy?
Or that anyone has seen, that any UFO has been an actual alien spacecraft of some sort.
Well, I can't base it on the current evidence at the moment.
Well, I'm not asking you to base it on something. I'm asking what you believe.
There is a possibility of previous visitation.
Egypt?
No, not Egypt. I'm just saying previous visitation, because you do have other ways of doing space travel than just standard rockets.
This is true.
So
that's the most barbaric way to travel, really.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a very elegant...
Do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Do you believe that aliens have, you know...
Came here, visited, maybe?
Yeah.
I believe that it is possible that they could have, but there isn't enough evidence to say that they have.
Or have not,
exactly. So I'm kind of...
You can't prove a negative.
Right.
I'd like to bring that up.
Yes, you can.
I would just like to say that
the absence of light is what?
I don't think that any of these sightings in current history have been actual alien spacecraft. I don't think that Area 51 is a testing ground for alien autopsies.
Because our government is barely... you know, smart enough to do anything.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, they were pretty smart. Today, I don't know. Not so sure.
Well, I think that is our show. I believe that we are done.
Yes, we are finished.
We talked about everything that we had on our list of topics.
Happy Halloween.
Halloween.
And I will not say anything unusual this evening.
All right.
So...
I will for him. Boogity boogity boo.
All right. Please comment.
Yes.
I know we say that all the time and no one ever does.
Now, our plan is to do 8 episodes. We're planning on doing 8 episodes currently, and this being the 7th one, and the 8th one coming up next week. After the 8th one, we are deciding on either continuing with the podcast or just shutting it down completely. So we would like to have some feedback before the 8th episode.
Please.
So we can understand if you want us to continue on or you don't care whatsoever.
And one of the factors that will be deciding that is whether we push beyond the top 100 in our category.
Yes. We've gotten close.
Yes.
But we have not broke that barrier yet.
So if you guys like us, leave us some comments. Tell your friends about us. Get some more people listening.
I don't care if you hate us or not, just listen.
That's well, even
if
better.
If they hated us, I don't think they'd be listening.
But if they hated us, at least we'd get some freaking comments.
People listen to Rush Limbaugh just to hate him.
Yeah, we like to haterade. It's awesome.
We drink haterade all day, baby.
Yeah.
And let us know what you thought of New Ben.
Yes. Yeah. If you want us to continue having New Ben, please leave a comment.
I am single, also. Just want to throw that out there.
And the original Ben is also single.
Yes, both.
Both single. Josh, too.
Josh as well.
Yeah.
So it's three sexy voice motherfuckers.
All right. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.
Later.